Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new and improved version of my podcast. Joining me, I have a co-host. His name's Dom Tioli. We'll get to Dom in just a minute. Our new podcast here is called JUCO Products. Basically, we got the name from myself and Dom. We are both JUCO Products, as you would call it. We went to Corning Community College. We both had two pretty good years there. We both have a sports background. We really love talking sports, especially local sports around us here in the Western New York area. Dom's still in college. He's finishing up his master's degree in teaching. I believe health and physical education. Is that correct, Dom?
It's just physical education. I don't have the health certification for this one.
Just the physical education aspects. And then I'm already a working man. I am the associate executive director of the Wellsville YMCA. So we're basically, you know, just a couple guys who love sports, love the area that we live in. And we, you know, just figured we'd sit down and record and talk about it. So I'm going to step aside for a second and let my co-host Dom talk for a little bit.
Hello, everybody. My name is Dominic Tioli. As Curtis said, we went to Corning Community College together, played some baseball. We were pretty good at it, so not to brag or anything. but, yeah, so I did 2 years there, got my associate's degree in liberal arts. Then I moved on to Medea College, which is in Buffalo, where I'm originated from. Did 2 years there, got my bachelor's in sports management, played 2 years of baseball there, finished out my career there, and now I'm at Canisius College getting my master's in physical education. And I also work for the Buffalo Sabres as well. So that's where I'm at, and I'm looking forward to talking sports with you guys.
Yeah, Dom's a busy man. He's a hard guy to track down these days. So I was glad I could talk him into joining on, and we're excited to start this new podcast. We'll dive into sports and everything else that we're going to be talking about today. But just real quick, I wanted to just give an overview about what we're going to talk about in this podcast. Obviously, this is going to be another sports show. We're going to talk NFL, NCAA football and basketball, NHL, baseball, just the stuff that we're familiar with and the stuff that we believe that we're pretty knowledgeable in. You know, we're going to have some biased opinions. I'm a Steelers fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm a Sabres fan. I'm a Notre Dame fan for college football. And I'm a diehard Bama's fan for college basketball. And then there's Dom. He's a big Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres fan, New York Yankee fan. Dom, who do you like for college football and college and basketball?
Well, I'm kind of conflicted nowadays with college basketball because I've been a Niagara basketball season ticket holder for forever. And now I go to the rival school, Canisius College. So I'm kind of well-versed within the Metro Athletic Conference. But, you know, I like all sorts of college basketball, and I'm a big Notre Dame football guy.
Yeah, I thought that you were a Notre Dame fan, too. Yeah, they had a pretty good year this year, 10-2. Two losses, one to Georgia, who could be a college football playoff team, and a bad loss to Michigan, but I think that was kind of fluky.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's going to happen. So, anyway, go ahead, Dom.
Yeah, so when you're Notre Dame, you basically have to go undefeated in the regular season to have a chance to make it into the college football playoff.
That's true. Being an independent makes it a lot tougher. Yeah, so, all right, let's dive into it. Let's get the show started. Let's kick off episode number one here. I think we're going to dive into the NFL, and we're going to talk about what we think our likely scenarios are for the AFC playoff picture and NFC playoff picture. I'm going to let my co-host Dom get us started.
All right. So what we're looking at right now in the AFC, we've got, you know, the Baltimore Ravens with the first seed, 10-2. They're having an outstanding season. And I believe, Curtis, you were saying that Baltimore was going to go like 8-8 this year, weren't you?
Yeah, I figured you would bring that up. I didn't have faith in Lamar Jackson. I really didn't think the Ravens were going to be competitive in the AFC North this year, but they're way past those expectations, and they've pretty much run away with the division. But, yeah, you're right. I did say that.
You know, they've got – well, obviously, Lamar Jackson, I never really had faith in that in him. You know, coming out of Louisville, I kind of compared him to Tyrod Taylor. And, you know, at this point, he's you know, he's exceeded my expectations.
A lot of people like to call him the poor man's Michael Vick. But in my opinion, he's the rich man's Michael Vick, because he's going to be a better football player than Michael Vick was even in his prime.
Hopefully he stays on the field and doesn't go to jail for 3 years like Michael did.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we got to worry. I think Lamar Jackson's a little bit better of a person than that.
He might be a little smarter.
I think he might be. Well, yeah. I think the Ravens, I agree with you, Dan. I think the Ravens are going to be the one seed. 10-2, they finish up their regular season, four games with that are all winnable. Tough one this week in Buffalo. I think that's their toughest game the rest of the way out. Other than that, if they lose to Buffalo, they're going to go 3-1. They got the Jets, the Browns, and then they host Pittsburgh to end the season. So I think they finish 4-0 and 3-1. So they're going to finish 14-2 or 13-3, which should be good enough for the one seed.
This week's a little iffy for Baltimore going into New Era Field with that raucous crowd. I'll be in attendance, so I will definitely try to hinder any sort of life that Baltimore will bring in into Orchard Park. But, you know, it's going to be a close game. I think Baltimore ends up taking the game at the end. All right, so we go into our number two seed, which is the New England Patriots, of course. You know, they always got to be there. 10-2. They got a interesting matchup this weekend with Kansas City. I'm kind of liking Kansas City in this game.
I'm the same way. That's what I'm taking in Kansas City. Actually, in the Baltimore Buffalo game, I took Buffalo this week. Yeah, I took Buffalo this week in an upset. But yeah, I have Kansas City over New England this week. New England's offense is sputtering at best, and their defense has looked vulnerable as of late. So,
you know, they had, you know, Josh Gordon, then they added Antonio Brown. He was only there for 24 hours. He was there for one game. They don't have a wide receiver other than Julian Edelman. And what defenses have started to see is, you know, we double-team Edelman, you know, and nobody else gets open. So Brady has nobody to throw the ball to. And he can't scramble because he's 45 years old or whatever. he's basically, you know, I say he's got 2-3 years left, if that. I don't know. I just don't see him. I see him in January, being in January. I don't see him winning the Super Bowl this year.
No, I don't either. I honestly, like, I don't think it's out of the question that they're playing on wild card weekend. I think they still win the AFC East, but, Houston could run off four wins here and a couple New England losses, and you're sitting Houston at the two seed. Kansas City could run off four wins and a couple losses by the Pats. I mean, it's not unlikely scenario that the Pats could possibly be playing on wild card weekend, which historically has not been a good thing for them, as every time that they've reached or won the Super Bowl, they have had a bye. I mean, they haven't reached the Super Bowl when they've had to play on wild card weekend. So
you take a look at this weekend, you know, if the Bills can, you know, beat the Ravens, you know, it's not out of the question that Kansas City is going to beat New England. You know, that it's a tie. You know, it's a tie at the top of the AFC East with the Bills and the Patriots facing off, you know, 2 weeks from then.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, if Buffalo wins this week and New England loses this week, Buffalo holds its own destiny to win the AFC East. They go in and they go out and win their next three games. They beat New England. They're the AFC East champs. If New England loses this week, there's actually a scenario, hypothetically, where New England Buffalo or New England beats or loses to Kansas City this week and beats Buffalo, then or no, I take that back. The scenario is if Buffalo loses this week and next week to Pittsburgh, but beats New England and the Jets week 17, and New England loses to Kansas City this week and then one more game to either the Bengals or Dolphins. Obviously an unlikely scenario, but if that happened, Buffalo could win the AFC East there. So it's really not out of the question.
It's not.
So we'll just have to see how that plays out. But I agree. I still think they finished as the 2 seed. They do have a couple games up on the 3 and 4. It'll be tough for Buffalo to go into New England and win. So we'll just have to see. But moving on to the 3 seed, this might be where me and Dom differ. I think that I like Kansas City as the 3 seed rather than Houston. I think Kansas City wins this week. And then they have a pretty favorable end of the schedule, their last 3 games. After the New England week, after New England, have Denver at home, Chicago on the road, and then back home against the Chargers. So if they can get by New England this week, and there's no question in my mind that they could finish 12-4. Broncos at home shouldn't be too tall of a task. On the road at Chicago can't score, so that shouldn't be a big deal. And then they got the terrible Chargers, the bum-ass Chargers, who can't do anything.
Does Houston play Tennessee anymore?
Houston, they
got two games left with Tennessee.
They still play each other twice. Yeah,
they better watch out for them because they're flying high with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Tennessee's kind of a scary team for me, being a Steelers fan, because they do. I mean, if they can get by Houston, if they split with Houston, they got a good chance to win the their last 2 games and go 3-1. That's a scary scenario as a Steelers fan, because they could sneak in over Pittsburgh. Not that I think that Pittsburgh should even be in this situation anyway, but that's a story for a later date.
Yeah, go ahead, bud.
Well, no, who do you have you as your 3 seed, Dom?
It's going to be Kansas City. They're a better team than Houston, in my opinion.
I agree. They're definitely a better team.
The only problem with Kansas City is, their defense. It's very inconsistent.
I think inconsistent's a nice word. I think their defense is just downright bad.
Yeah, it's not great, for sure.
Yeah. So I think we're in agreement on the 3 seed. Are we in agreement of the 4 seed being Houston, or do you like Tennessee?
It's up in the air, but I think Houston's a better team. I think Tennessee might make the playoffs, though.
I think that Houston is definitely the better team. I think Houston ends up sweeping Tennessee. As crazy as that sounds, Tennessee they've struggled historically with the Texans. With Deshaun Watson, I shouldn't say with the Texans. I think that Houston sweeps that and kind of puts to rest Tennessee's playoff hopes, but you never know. So I have them at the 4 seed as well. And I'm guessing you at your 5, you have the Buffalo Bills down.
That's what I'm thinking. The Bills, they have a chance to, go 11-5, in my opinion. I think they can win 2 out of their last 4 games. I think they're a good enough team to definitely beat the Jets to make them 10-6. But I think they could probably pull it out this weekend. It's definitely not out of the question.
No. And it's kind of weird. In my opinion, the Bills are either going to go – I don't think there's a medium between this. I think that the Bills are either going to go 10-6 at this year. They're either going to finish 10-6 or they're going to finish 13-3. Because I don't see a scenario where they do they. I don't think they win 2 games. I think that's, in my opinion, if they win this week, I think that sparks something for them. I think that sends them on a run to end the year to winning their last 4 games over Pittsburgh, New England, and the Jets. If they win this weekend. Now, if they lose this weekend, I think that kind of puts the brakes on the Bills a little bit. I see them losing their next 2. to Pittsburgh and New England, and then finishing with a win against the Jets and still getting in the playoffs at 10-6, which I still have them. They would still be the 5 seed in my opinion. I think the 5 seed's not all but locked up for them, but it's pretty much they're going to be a 5 seed.
They would have to lose all 4 straight of the rest of their games to, you know, to change that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they'd have to lose 4 straight. Which I just don't see that happen. And I don't see them losing to the Jets. And I think that it's very possible they win their last 4 games. They're a good football team. They're getting overlooked by a lot of teams, and a lot of people aren't talking about the Bills still to this day. ESPN, I go on there all the time, watching every morning, and I'm waiting for them to bring up the Bills. And nobody's given them any love. The first person I've seen even really give them any love was Stephen A. Smith and Louis Riddick on First Take the one morning. And other than that, they really haven't got much attention.
Good Morning Football with Nate Burleson and those guys, Pete Carriger. Yeah. They just been talking Buffalo.
They love the Bills.
Yep. Michael Robinson was the first, you know, the first person to say that the Bills were going to go to the playoffs this year. I really didn't believe him.
That was preseason. I remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So who do you have as your 6th seed, Dom?
This is a tough one. It's going to be between Pittsburgh, Tennessee. That's probably it, in my opinion. The Browns are done. Oakland's done, in my opinion. I want to say Tennessee just because they got an established quarterback. What's this kid's name in Pittsburgh right now?
Delvin Hodges.
Devlin
Hodges. Devlin Hodges, not Delvin. That's what I pronounced it when they first brought him on and against the Ravens when Mason Rudolph got knocked out. I was like, who the heck is Delvin Hodges?
CBS was calling him Doug Hodges the other day, so they didn't even know what his name was.
I do like him. I think he has potential to grow into a predecessor to Ben Roethlisberger. I really do. I think he's that good, but obviously he's not there yet. He's played well for us, but I don't think we can compete. Even if we do sneak in, we can't compete with teams like Kansas City and Houston and New England and Buffalo. We're not going to be able to compete with those teams who can score pretty much at will. Our defense is good, don't get me wrong, but we can't score with teams. We rely on our defense to keep teams under 20 or 25.
James Conner might be on his way back this weekend.
I hope so. We really need him back. We need Juju back. Let's just talk about for a second the job Mike Tomlin's done this year.
Yeah, he's impressive. I was about to say. Without him, in my opinion, with this roster they have, I just don't see him going anywhere. But he's done an excellent job for however long he's been there, 13 years or so.
Yeah. They're going to finish with a winning record. I shouldn't say that. They're not going to finish. I'm not necessarily guaranteed a winning record, but they're going to finish at least 8-8. Mike Tomlin in his coaching career has never finished under 500. He's had 2 8-8 seasons. Every other year, he's finished with a winning record. But he's won a Super Bowl and been to one other one. But this is easily, in my opinion, his best coaching job. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, for sure. And just the roster that he has, it's amazing. How they're 7-5 right now.
You got a quarterback that started the season as literally the 4th guy on the depth chart in the preseason at training camp. He was number 4 under Josh Dobbs. And then you lose Antonio Brown this offseason. You lose Le'Veon Bell. And now you're down your best wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster, and James Conner. But you still go and win your biggest game of the year against Cleveland. That's just, I mean, he's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah. Well, what happened to, or why wasn't, what's his face? The other quarterback, Mason Rudolph. What happened to him?
He just was benched. He played like garbage against Cincinnati in the first half. We were losing 7-3, I believe we were down, or 10-3 at half. And Mike Tomlin's like, I'm done with that shit. So well, he pulled he put him on the bench and he threw Duck in there and he had a pretty good – and his second play that he was in, Duck Hodges threw a 70-some yard touchdown pass to James Washington.
Huh. Yeah, well, I think Myles Garrett gave Mason Rudolph a concussion.
I mean, I don't know how he wasn't checked at least.
I mean, he did take a helmet right to the dome piece.
So the sixth seed for me, I think it's going to be Pittsburgh. But I, like I said, I'm not too worried about Tennessee because I think they lose both to Houston, and then you don't know from there. I think that kind of puts them out of the question. But the team that I am watching still, and I know you kind of wrote them off, was the Oakland Raiders. Because they do have Tennessee this weekend. If they go beat Tennessee this weekend, that's another loss that I think Tennessee could take this weekend. But then Oakland finishes with Jacksonville at home, on the road to the Chargers, and on the road at the Broncos. I think all are winnable games.
Yeah, true. You know, I still like Tennessee, though. You know, their defense is very underrated. They stop the run. They really do. And then Derrick Henry. He is a bell cow. That guy.
They have a good coach, too.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel's done an excellent job. I mean, without him, they wouldn't be in this position. Marcus Mariota was a terrible pick. He hasn't done anything. I mean, he's brought him to the playoffs a couple times, 9-7, whatever. You know, just not. He just hasn't been good. Ryan Tannehill's looked really good.
Really well, and he showed flashes of that in Miami when he spent time down there. He just couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah. He was inconsistent there.
Yeah.
And I think that just comes with Miami. I think their organization just isn't very good. Kind of like
his last healthy year he had a very similar year to the year he's having right now down there in Miami. So I don't think it's out of the question that Ryan Tannehill is the future of that team. I think he is the future of that team. He's a little bit of an older quarterback, but he's going to be around for, 5 to 7 more years. Why not roll with him and take what you can get from Marcus Mariota?
Yeah, for sure. It's either between the Steelers, Titans, and the Raiders. It's probably going to be the Steelers to get in. They got the best coach out of all of them. So, Yeah, that's probably how the AFC is going to play out. So we can move over to the other side, the NFC.
Yeah, let's do it.
So right now we've got the Saints with the top seed. They've already clinched the playoff spot. They've clinched their division. They're at 10-2. The Seahawks 10-2. They're in the second seed. The Packers, who have had an excellent year with their new head coach. They're at 9-3. They're in the 3 seed. The Dallas Cowboys are 6-6 with that awful division they play in, and are in first place in that division. And then the 49ers, they dropped this weekend to Baltimore. They're now in a wild card spot because Seattle took the Monday night game.
Yep.
Against Minnesota, which was an excellent game. And then you got Minnesota sitting at that sixth spot with the Rams on their tail, 7-5. So, yeah, we got some good football coming up in the NFC.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the Saints – I think they finished as the one seed. I don't think that's changing. I think, in my opinion, they're the favorite to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. I know a lot of people could make an argument for the 49ers, but I think I kind of think they're similar to the Bills. I think they're a year early, I think that they'll be a force to be reckoned with for the next few years. But I think that the 49ers falter a little bit. I could see them losing in the first round of the playoffs unless they get the matchup with the Cowboys. I think they'll run all over the Cowboys. But which it's looking like that's what it's going to be. All so right. those, I yeah. think they'll, I think they'd sneak by the Cowboys, but I don't see them winning a divisional round game on the road. But you never know. So I like Seattle at the two seed. What about you?
I say Seattle's going to stay right at the top of that division, just because Russell Wilson's—he's a maniac. He's so good, and he's been doing it for a long time.
That's a tough place to win at, to win a road game too in the playoffs in Seattle, and that would be where San Francisco would be heading. So,
though they would have to beat, right now they'd be matched up with the Cowboys.
You're right. San Francisco would be heading to New Orleans, which I think that's a bad matchup for them too. They play each other this week, right?
Do they?
Yeah, I think they play each other this week, so we'll get a little preview of that.
Yeah, I think that's going to go New Orleans' way.
I do, too. Yeah, I do, too. I think I like Seattle at the two. Green Bay is a little iffy with me. They're an inconsistent team. They have the ability to blow teams out and score a lot of points, but they also have the ability to lay a big, fat egg.
You got to take a look who their quarterback is, though.
Yeah, he's a bad man.
He's pretty good at football.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I would know. He's on my fantasy team. In 1 week this year, he scored. He got me 69 points in 1 week. But there's also been weeks that he hasn't done much. I mean, the week when he played the 49ers, he only got me like 5 fantasy points.
Yeah, that was a tough day for him. But
yeah, it was a tough day. And I think Green Bay's a good team. Don't get me wrong. They'll beat the 6th seed, whoever that is. Whether it's Minnesota or the Rams, they will beat that team. They'll probably beat them pretty handedly. But then they're going to have to go on the road to Seattle, and that's just such a tough place to play.
They don't have a great track record there in the playoffs.
No, they don't. And Russell Wilson's an experienced veteran who's got a Super Bowl ring. He knows how to win in the playoffs, especially at home.
He should have 2 Super Bowl rings if their coach wasn't such a clown.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you, Dom. That's absolutely the truth. I like Green Bay at the 3 seed. I think the top 3 seeds are pretty solid. I think that's not going to change. Dallas, they're going to win that division by default, I guess, is how you would word that.
Just a sad division. They can go 7-9 and probably still win that division.
I agree. I think Philadelphia might finish 6-10. They're such a disappointment this year.
A terrible football team.
Yeah, I can't believe the Bills lost to them. I think it was just it was a bad week for the Bills, and it was I think that was the best game Philly's played all year.
Probably. And the turning point in that game was the Bills had a 7-3 lead with 2 minutes to go in the second quarter, and we're making Josh Allen do these quarterback draws, quarterback sweeps to the right side, and he fumbles. And then Philly scores a touchdown right before the half to make it 10-7. And then the game is over from there. I turned it off after the third quarter. It was a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a rough one. But, I mean, they've got to be one of the biggest disappointments in the league this year, if not the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, them and Dallas are probably in the disappointment category right next to
Chicago, too.
Chicago, Carolina.
I mean, they're playing with Kyle Allen. Not that Kyle Allen hasn't played well this year, but he's still no Cam Newton.
Yeah. Atlanta's a sad franchise.
Oh, actually, I take that back. That's probably my biggest disappointment this year was the Atlanta Falcons. I had such high expectations for them. I actually considered them a team that could compete for a division title and possibly a Super Bowl berth. And they've absolutely hit, rock bottom there in Atlanta. They're at rock bottom.
Dan Quinn should get forcefully removed out of there.
Yeah, they're struggling. And the Browns are a big disappointment this year, too. We forgot to mention that. They're a big disappointment.
Actually, they're the biggest disappointment. Everybody's talking, oh, the Browns are going to go to the Super Bowl. I could have told you right from the get-go, once they got Odell Beckham Jr., that they were going nowhere. You know, they got all this talent on their team. I'm not going to deny that. But when it comes to Odell, Jarvis Landry, Baker Mayfield, and those clowns that you got on their defense, they have the biggest egos in all of football. So it's not a surprise that they're not going anywhere. And their coach is probably the biggest clown in the NFL as well.
Yeah.
But they beat the Bills, which was the worst football game of the year, by the way.
that was a bad game. I don't know, though. I think the Indianapolis and Miami Dolphins game would give that a run for the money, too. That was an awful football game to stomach. I watched some of that game. That was awful.
Just a very sad week of football, that was.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're both in agreement that San Francisco finishes at the 5 seed.
That's what it's looking like. You know, I'm not going to not say that they don't still have a chance for that division. I mean, which they do. Do they play Seattle again?
Yeah, I believe they still have a head-to-head matchup.
Yeah, I mean, it's not out of the question.
I think it's in Seattle. I think they've already gone to I think they've already played in San Francisco.
Monday night, I believe. It was a Monday night game.
It was in San Francisco. They finish up the year in Seattle, the 49ers do.
Yeah. Well,
that'll be a big game. That could be for the division title.
We'll see what happens there. Probably I'm thinking it's going to be Seattle that takes that 2 seed though.
I think so too. Now that leaves that 6 seed. Who finishes as your 6 seed in the NFC?
I think Minnesota's a good team. So I'm going to go with them.
You're going to lean Minnesota. I think Minnesota's a good team too. Kirk Cousins has had a good year, but he still can't get it done on the big stage. And I don't blame just Kirk Cousins. Mike Zimmer's the same way. I don't care about that run with Case Keenum to that NFC championship game a couple of years ago. That was a big fluke. As you could tell, Case Keenum's garbage. That was just kind of one of those miracle runs that teams just happen to go on every once in a while.
The ball bounced their way. That's absolutely
right. I don't have faith in Minnesota. I've been skittish about them all the way along. If they would have beat Seattle, I would have had a different feeling about this. But I'm going to go with the Rams. I think the Rams get in.
You think so? I mean, they're playing good football.
I think the Rams are going to get in. I think the Rams go. I think the Rams could go 10-6 and still get in. I think because the Minnesota, do they have a head to head with Minnesota this year? I can't remember.
I couldn't tell you.
They don't have a head to head with Minnesota. Now I'm looking at the Rams schedule. It kind of worries me a little bit. They do still have Seattle, Dallas, and the 49ers on their schedule. So if they're going to get in, they're going to earn it if they get in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that one could go either way. I'm not going to say one way or the other. I'm leaning towards the Rams, but it could very well be the Vikings.
Yeah, it's true. I just think Minnesota, they got a really good defense. I like Mike Zimmer. I like the way he coaches that team. He's a very good, very fundamentally sound coach. He's an old school type of guy. I like the old school guys that don't take any crap.
And Minnesota's, I mean, they have a chance to still win the division, as crazy as that sounds. They still have a matchup with the Packers this year. It's in Lambeau still. Or, no, it's at home. They have the Packers at home still. So if they go ahead and, you know, they beat the Packers, they have a favorable schedule to end the year. They got the Lions, Chargers, and Bears other than that Packers game, so – it's going to be an interesting last couple weeks of the season in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to this for sure.
Yeah, me too.
This is one of the most exciting last 4 weeks of the season I can remember. Well, maybe just because the Bills have a chance to clinch a playoff spot this weekend.
Yeah. And as a Bills fan, you got to be nothing but excited for right now. Not only right now, but the future.
Yeah, I think it's I was looking at it, the way they can clinch a playoff spot is by beating the Ravens. Oakland has to lose or tie. Who else?
The Colts.
The Colts have to lose or tie.
And the Texans.
And the Texans have to lose, which that's just not going to happen. They're playing some garbage team this week.
Yeah. I don't think Buffalo clinches this week, but if they win this week, they have a good chance to clinch next week because all they'll need is a win.
I just want to say thank you to Roger Goodell and the National Football League for finally allowing the Bills to play on a Sunday night.
Well, how about other than that? How about you thank Roger Goodell and the National Football League for the schedule that the Bills got this year?
Well, I mean, you can't, you know, When the Bills finished third or in third place, you know, that's what happens. They play terrible teams the next year, and the Bills upgraded immensely. Their offensive line is really new, and then you know you got slot guys like John Brown and Cole Beasley that have carried the load for this team this year. Those guys are pretty good, as the nation saw the other day on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I agree. John Brown's had a great year, and Cole Beasley has as well. He's hit his groove there in Buffalo. I think he's found himself a nice little home there. Him and Josh Allen seem to have a good connection, as well as Josh Allen and John Brown. I think if Buffalo can go out this offseason and sign a number one offensive threat on the outside as a wide receiver and kind of shore up that offensive line, which they did this offseason a little bit, but it's good, but I think they could shore it up a little bit. Guys getting some more experience, and you know, defensively, I mean, they're not really lacking much anywhere defensively.
They're pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty solid. So I mean, they're just missing a piece or two from being the number one seed in the AFC, which is still kind of not out of the question for them either, actually. So. We'll see how the NFL season ends up. I'm excited for the end of the year. You know, me and Dom took a little longer talking the NFL than we like. So we're going to wrap up this episode with a quick college football talk. We'll just hit it real quick. Dom, give me your four teams that get in the college football playoff.
Ohio State, LSU. I want to say that Clemson's going to get in, and it's going to be tough for Georgia. I think they might lose to LSU, which is going to open up a really interesting scenario of who is going to take that fourth seed. Maybe Oklahoma. Alabama's done, obviously, with their two losses.
Yeah.
But maybe Oklahoma, maybe a Utah team that's sitting at number six right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to say Oklahoma probably gets into that fourth seed.
I have the same exact top three as you, except I have LSU. I have LSU leapfrogging Ohio State to the one seed. I think that the committee's going to like the win over Georgia more than they're going to like that win over Wisconsin. So I have LSU jumping to the one, Ohio State at the two, Clemson at three. And I think the four seed is going to be the winner of the Big 12 conference, whether it's Baylor or Oklahoma. I don't see a scenario where they pick Utah for one reason and one reason only. It's just not a sexy pick. Who wants to tune in on the best day of college football to a game between LSU and Utah? Who wants to watch that game? Yeah. It's not a sexy pick.
Yeah. If the NCAA could find a way to get Alabama or Notre Dame in there, they would. But it would be a bad look if they put a two-loss team in there.
Yep, I agree. And that's why I think it's going to be either the Big 12 team, because the Big 12 champion is going to have one loss, whether it's Oklahoma or whether it's Baylor. And Baylor's one loss would be to Oklahoma, so it really wouldn't be that bad of a loss. Granted, they don't have any great wins other than beating Oklahoma, and Oklahoma doesn't have any great wins other than beating Baylor, but it's not going to be Utah. It's not going to be Utah. They don't want a Pac-12 team. They don't want a Utah team. It's just not a sexy pick. Who's going to be tuning into that game? You know, all of LSU Nation and then all 20 fans that Utah has? No, I just don't see it happening.
Here's an interesting question. What happens if Georgia beats LSU? Do they both get in?
If Georgia beats LSU, they both get in. I think Ohio State will be at the one. Clemson jumps up to the two. I think Georgia would be the three, and LSU drops to the four in that scenario. But I could also see him leaving LSU at three and Georgia at four, because Georgia has that ugly loss to South Carolina, who finished 4-8 this year. So that could, even if they win the SEC championship game, I could see them just holding there at four. Unless Clemson wins the ACC championship in an ugly way, if they only win by a touchdown or a field goal or something, I could see Clemson dropping back to 4, LSU at the 2, and Georgia at the 3, and then having an SEC championship rematch in the first round of the college football playoffs. But I think they want to avoid that.
Who do you think is going to win the whole thing?
I think I'm torn. Whoever the 4 seed is not winning. I don't care who it is. They're not going to win. Unless it's LSU. If it's somehow LSU. I just don't think LSU drops further than 3. I think I like – it's hard to pick against Dabo Swinney, so I wouldn't be shocked if it's Clemson. But I think I like Ohio State.
They're a good team.
Yeah.
They really are.
I think that's who I would – I'd favor as who I would think was going to win. But it's it could be any of those top 3 seeds. It could be Oklahoma – or it could be Ohio State. It could be LSU. It could be Clemson, I think.
I like LSU. They got a really good quarterback. Joe Burrow, he should win the Heisman, in my opinion.
He's a real deal. He's going to turn some heads in the combine, too. Mark my words, Joe Burrows will be a top 5 pick.
I agree.
He will be a top 5 pick. Is he a draft eligible this year?
I believe he is. Yeah.
I think he is, too. Yeah, I think he's a junior this year.
Mel Kiper seems to think he is.
Yeah, I think he's a draft. I think he's a top 5 pick. And if he turns some heads seriously, you know, I think it's tough to say he'll get drafted over Chase Young. But it wouldn't be out of the question for me for him to go 2.
Number 2. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't be out of the question for me to go 2. All right, but yeah, well, I think we're going to wrap it up here for our first episode of the podcast. You know, I just want to thank Dom and I look forward to making many more episodes with you, and hopefully we can keep this podcast going for a while and have some good conversations, possibly have some guests on the show. Any last words, Dom?
I appreciate you asking me to come along. This was fun. I like talking sports. I like talking, you know, having the debates and stuff. So it was a good time.
Yeah, and believe me, folks, we didn't have any heated exchanges today, but me and Dom do get into them, so it will come.
It will be tough to. It's going to be tough to get into a fist fight, you know, through the phone.
Me and Dom have had many tussles, so that you know, if we ever do have a podcast together in the same room, a tussle is not out of the question.
There might be some grappling going on, like rugby style.
The drinks will be flowing, folks.
We love to see that.
We love to see it. So that spot does it for us here in the first episode of JUCO Products. Tune in next week to our podcast and see what we talk about. Anything you want to finish with, Dom? Anything you want to bring up before we head out?
I just want to say, remember, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
And I'll end it with, my favorite saying that I used to end my old podcast with is, always remember to finish your drink, folks. See you later, Dom.
Have a good one, Curtis.